We present An Irish Connection by Patrick J. Power, with Stephen Kennedy as Michael, Eamon Hunt as Detective Superintendent Gleason, and Owen Rowe as Detective Sergeant Fitzgerald.
Excuse me. Hello? Excuse me. Jesus Christ.
Don't make a scene, Michael, please.
We're here half an hour and we haven't even seen the menu yet.
They'll get around to us eventually.
Country hotels are the shagging limit. There he goes again.
Who?
The French waiter. He hasn't taken a single order since we came in. All he does is keep darting back and forward to that reserved table. I wouldn't fancy meeting him after dark in a Paris alleyway.
I think he's quite attractive. Have you been back to see the doctor?
No.
Why shouldn't you have gone back?
He's a quack. First he told me I had malaria, then he said glandular fever. I had neither. I picked up a summer flu.
You don't look well.
I'll be fine once I'm back in the sun.
I thought you said you had a medical cert in the middle of September.
I can't stand this bloody climate any longer. As soon as we get back to Dublin tomorrow, I'll phone head office and ask them to arrange a flight out as soon as possible.
I'm sorry, Michael.
There is somebody else, isn't there?
Yes.
Well, do you know him?
No.
What does he do?
He's a research chemist.
Would it have made any difference if I hadn't gone away?
Oh, what's the point in discussing that now?
Water under the bridge, huh? Oh, well. Oh. Here come the honored guests, conducted to their table by the proprietor himself. Pinstripe suit, flyer in his buttonhole, hands as big as shovels. More than likely made his money on the fiddle in some building site across the water.
Philippe! Hey! The usual for you, Herr Smith. Cognac?
Yeah.
And you, sir?
Lager, bitte.
Big glass? Small glass?
Grossen glass.
Big glass. Yeah. A pint of lager, Philippe, and a cognac for Herr Smith. The menus, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
I'll have someone take your orders in a moment.
We're completely ignored. Those foreign gets walk in and get attention right away.
They do have a reserved table.
So what?
Sake, Michael, relax. Don't get so tight over nothing.
Of all the places in Ireland, we had to choose Skibbereen on a wet August weekend. Good God.
What?
The waiter, Philippe, over at the drinks hatch, he's put something in the brandy.
Ridiculous.
Brenda, I saw him, a quick flick of the wrist. Whatever it was, he had it hidden under that napkin.
How can you possibly tell from over here?
Because I was watching him. Look, he's put his hand in his trousers pocket. I swear to God, he tipped something into Schmidt's brandy.
Well, surely Schmidt or one of the others would have seen him.
They weren't looking, they've got their heads stuck in the menus.
What the hell is wrong with you, Michael?
Here he comes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sean. Christ, he's drinking it?
Yeah. If you continue with this nonsense, I am getting up and walking out.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Michael, this is very embarrassing. People are staring at us.
Look, the drink was doctored. I'm certain of it. I know what I saw.
Oh, shut up.
Brenda, watch out!
My cut! Someone help here, please!
Where the hell did you go? I have been looking all over the place for you.
I had a walk up time.
You're as white as a ghost.
Any news of Schmidt?
He's dead. Massive heart attack.
Who's dead?
The doctor who attended him. He was in the bar. He came almost immediately.
I'm going to the guards.
The guards? Michael, what the hell is wrong with you?
Schmidt was poisoned, the frog poisoned.
Michael, I have just told you, you are not listening to me. The doctor said he died of a massive heart attack.
And I'm telling you, he was poisoned. That was murder in there.
And you know better than the doctor, do you?
The doctor didn't see what I saw.
Do you realize what going to the guards means? They'll be down here swarming all over the place because of some crazy notion that you saw Philly put something in the German's drink.
Here. Smell that.
Where did you get that glass?
It fell out of Schmidt's hand and rolled under our table. Look, go on, smell it.
There's nothing in it to smell.
You don't get an almond whiff off it.
No, I don't. Give it to me.
No, I'm going to have it analysed.
It's empty, for God's sake.
Look, if the cognac was poisoned, they'll find traces. Come on. We haven't eaten. Let's go into dinner.
Michael, it is 10 o'clock. The dining room closed at 9. You have been gone for over 2 hours.
Oh. Look, we have to get something to eat. Sorry, excuse me.
Excuse me?
Yes, sir?
Could we have sandwiches and a pot of coffee, please?
Well, what kind of sandwiches would you like?
Ham, cheese, whatever you have. I hear Herr Schmidt's dead.
Oh, he is, yes, poor man. He has it all over him now.
Did you know?
We were just sitting at the next table.
Oh, well, he had a weak heart. Dr. Crowley told him he could go at any time. Not to worry, he wouldn't know a thing about it. Sure, that's what's happened.
Dr. Crowley was the doctor who attended him in the dining room.
Oh, that's right. Oh, a good doctor. What a divil for the whiskey. A great friend of Jerry's. Jerry and him go on fierce binges together.
Who's Jerry?
Jerry Langan. Well, the boss. Jerry's a big wheel in this town. Builder, auctioneer, you name it, Jerry's mixed up in it. Well, he was the only friend Smith had, apart from his own bunch. Smith wasn't too popular.
How's that?
Land agitation. It was in the papers. About a year ago, Schmidt bought a farm out Baltimore direction. Jerry arranged the sale. But the local farmers wanted it divided. And there was slogans painted on the road. Nazis go home, that kind of thing. And then a few idiots with shotguns tried to ambush him one evening. And the guards caught them and that was the end of it. The rumour was Schmidt was going to put up some kind of a holiday complex. £1 million it was to cost. And Jerry was to build it for him. I dare say nothing will come of that now.
Were there his two sons with him?
That's another story. Well, the word was he was gay. Always a stream of young fellas going to and from the house. All Germans. He never appeared in public without a couple of them tagging along. He stayed in the hotel for a couple of months when he came over first. And every Sunday night since he's had his dinner here.
The French waiter, is he permanent?
Philippe. Not at all. He's only in the place 2 weeks. He came to Jerry and spun him a story. He was a student and he'd lost all his money. And Jerry took him on. Jerry has big notions. The idea of having a French waiter appeal to him. Give a bit of tone to the place. I heard someone saying he was finishing up tonight. And good riddance.
Would you care for a drink?
Not now, sir. Jerry caught me drinking on the job. He'd fire me. If you like, you could leave one down for me and I'll have it after. A pint of stout. Just tell him it's for dinny.
I'll do that.
I'll get you the coffee and the sandwiches.
Right.
Well, satisfied?
Nope.
Very well, then. Excuse me.
Where are you going?
To my room. I have had enough of your stupidity and I can't take it anymore.
But you haven't eaten.
I'm not hungry.
Bloody hell. Jesus Christ, this is all I need.
Brenda. Brenda, do you hear me?
I'm in bed.
Open the door, I have to talk to you.
Go away.
Open the bloody door, will you?
Is anything missing?
Yeah, my address book and passport. My overnight bag's been prized open. The lock's broken.
Are you sure that you had them with you?
Yes, I'm sure. I had them in this plastic folder. See, empty. Get your things. You're sleeping in here tonight.
I most certainly am not.
You're in danger. The frog knows I have the glass. He's been in here searching for it. He didn't find it, so we'll go to your room next.
Michael, are you on drugs?
No, I'm not on drugs. A man was murdered in this hotel this evening, right in front of our noses. I have the proof. That's why he's broken into the room. You're not staying in your room tonight. Not with that bastard prowling around. So get your things and get in here.
I will not. I am sleeping in my own room. Look, I didn't want to come on this lousy weekend. I told you everything between us was over. Now, you begged me. You pleaded with me. And I was a bloody idiot to come. Why do you think I broke it off with you? I hadn't got that ring on my finger for 2 days when you announced that you were off to Dubai. Well, I asked you not to go, but you wouldn't listen. You know, once you get an idea into your head, God Almighty won't change you.
You knew I had applied for that job out there. I went out there to earn money so that we could marry and buy a house. I've earned more money out there in 1 year than I would have made in this tip of a country in 5.
And what do you expect? expect me to do? Pine away like some lovelorn princess imprisoned in a garret? Write you love letters pledging my undying devotion? Wait till you came home and you got another brainstorm. Listen, you are unstable. You are still a schoolboy. You don't even know your own mind from one minute to the next. If I ever needed proof, I got it this evening. Now, I am going back to my room. I am getting into bed, so do not bang on my door again. Do you hear me? Hardly touched your dinner. Aren't you hungry?
No.
How do you feel?
Tired. Confused.
Michael, listen to me. The weekend is over. Just put it out of your mind. There was somebody in your room last night, but it wasn't the frog. My guess, it was just some thief, you know, maybe even a guest in the hotel, and when he didn't find anything of value in your bag, he nicked your address book and passport. As for that other stuff, we know that Schmidt died of heart failure.
Philippe put something in Schmidt's glass. I have no doubts about that at all. I saw him.
Give it to me.
What?
The glass.
No.
I'll get David to test it in the lab.
Suppose he does find traces of poison in it. Cyanide, for instance.
Don't argue with me, Michael.
Then you're both involved. We could all be in trouble.
Just give it to me.
You realize what you're doing?
Yeah.
Don't mess about with it. Put it in your bag. Leave the tissues on it.
So, you still plan on flying out this week?
As soon as I can arrange a new passport.
Will you give me a ring before you go?
I'll get the car in the mall and drop you home.
I'm not going home. I'm meeting David. Look, I'm sorry about what I said to you last night. You know, about you being unstable. I didn't mean that.
You're sure we're all washed up?
I'm a little confused too, Michael. Look, I have to dash. Why don't you just give it some time and ring me in a day or two? No, look, don't come with me. It's... I'm all right. Mind yourself. Bye.
Bye.
That land again. Other people's bloody televisions. Where's the friggin' light switch? Same old story. Somebody's nicked the bulb. Oh, London light's gone too. Right. Stairs this way, I think. Sorry, wall. Here we are. One. Two. Oh, Mike. One, two, to miss your footing. Who's there? Frog. Are you up there, Frog? Frog.
I go in the back, you bastard!
Fallen down the stairs. He's pissed out of his mind. Oh, Jesus. Karen, his head split open. Should we get him inside?
No, don't touch him. Let's ring for an ambulance.
Producer, are at an all-time...
Now then, how do you feel, Michael?
Terrible.
Don't try to sit up. No. Lie back.
How many stitches did I have?
Six. You had a pretty nasty gash in your head. Now then,
open your eyes, please. Now, look at me. That's right, a bit wider. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
We'll have to keep you overnight to be on the safe side.
Why?
No, nothing to be alarmed about. Merely precaution.
Now, can you remember what happened to you?
The frog clobbered me.
Sorry?
A Frenchman, the French waiter, he was waiting for me at the top of the stairs. He grabbed me overnight bag and then he hit me over the head with something.
You'd been drinking.
I had a few.
Well, the girls who found you told the ambulance crew you fell down the stairs.
Aye, after the bastard hit me. Look, I'm getting out of here.
I strongly advise you to remain overnight. Now, for your own good, you have concussion.
Do you have a phone? I want to call a taxi.
Now, there's a payphone down the corridor. Just a moment, please. I'd like you to sign something here. Here we are.
What's this?
Well, it's just a precautionary measure, a statement to say you discharge yourself voluntarily.
Customer, Serge. Bandage around his head.
Oh, if it's another nut, I'll kill myself. See what he wants.
Yes?
Oh, I want to report an attack made me about 3 hours ago.
Do you know who your assailant was?
A Frenchman called Philippe. I don't know his surname.
Why did he attack you?
He committed a murder on Sunday night. I was a witness.
Where?
Skibbereen.
Just a moment, please. I think you're right, Serge. Some Frenchman attacked him because he was a witness to a murder the Frenchman committed on Sunday night in Skibbereen.
Oh, is he doped?
Hard to say. His eyes are glazed and he has a whiff of drink off him.
Oh, they let them out for the day. They go off drinking. They get involved in fights. And then, when they've nowhere else to go, they wander into the nearest Garda station with their heads full of nonsense, and then we have to play mother. Show them in.
Do you want me to go inside and ring around the psychiatric hospitals?
Oh, later. We'll suss them out first.
Will you come this way, please?
Another cup of Michael?
No, thanks.
Okay. Well, then let's have a quick run over your statement. On Sunday night, you saw the French waiter putting something in the German's drink. The German took the drink and died. Your room was burgled and your passport and address book taken. Now, last night, when you returned to your flat, the French man was lying in wait, grabbed your bag and hit you across the head. An ambulance was called and you were brought to James's hospital. From the hospital, you took a taxi here.
That's correct.
Right. Have you been ill recently, Michael?
No, I picked up a bug about 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of a bug?
The doctor wasn't sure. First he said malaria, then glandular fever.
We don't have malaria in Ireland.
I picked it up abroad.
Where?
Dubai, in the Middle East.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a civil engineer.
Can I see you a second, Sarge?
Excuse me, Michael.
I was on to James's. The doctor in casualty says the girls who found him told the ambulance crew he was maggoty drunk and fell down the stairs. The doctor says he's concussed. He wanted him to stay in overnight, but he discharged himself.
Yeah, he claims he's a civil engineer home on holiday from the Middle East.
He's loopy, Sergeant. That's my opinion.
Call the squad car. We'll get shut of him.
What do we do with the statement? Tear it up?
Oh, no. We'll pass it on to the CDU. Any tearing ups to be done, let them do it. Okay, Michael, we've called a squad car to drop you back to your flat.
What if the Frenchman's still hanging about?
We have a patrol in the area. If he's in the vicinity, they'll get him. Now, don't worry. You'll be perfectly safe.
Oh, Morning. You want to see me, Zuber?
I do, Fitz. Grab a chair.
Jesus, you look right. Everything okay?
I'm getting by.
Have you heard from her?
No.
Not the children?
Nothing.
But you know where they are?
London. I have an address.
I dare say their job didn't help.
As she'd been seeing her for some time, I didn't twig on. Probably because I wasn't around much.
Strange business we're in, Fitz.
Yeah.
Investigating society's ills. And we don't realize what's going on inside our own four walls. Who's the eldest lad?
He's gone too. Christ only knows what's going to happen to him in London.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Fitz. Yeah. Shouldn't you take time off? Go across, sort things out?
Yeah. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do for the best.
Did I ever tell you? All I wanted to be was a farmer.
Oh, we're off.
Drive cattle along a country road.
Oh, yeah.
Rear a few pigs. Back and forward to the creamery and the mart. Didn't work out, though. There were six of us born in 50 acres at the foot of the Galtee Mountains. The eldest brother took over. The rest had to leave. I joined the guards. Someday I'll go back there, that's for sure. Back to the lush green fields of Tipperary. You ever have dreams like that, Fitz?
Afraid not, Super. I was born in the city. The streets are my home.
Not the same streets you grew up in, are they?
And that's true. But you know what keeps me going on the bad days is that I can help put some of those bastards away.
So when it strikes your own family, huh? Jesus, that's when it hits home.
Amen to that.
Problem, Fitz.
Right.
Those two foreigners who died, Tassie and Padroni. I'm not happy. Here's the file. Something odd there. Both suicides within a few days of one another. Too much of a coincidence.
Well, there was nothing to indicate foul play. Tassie hanged himself, Padroni shot himself without duck shooting. And the only prints found on his gum were his own.
Tassie had a contusion at the base of his skull.
Well, the medical evidence at the inquest was that the contusion was caused by the knot on the rope. Now, if the coroner had any doubts, he'd have brought in an open verdict.
Yet nobody, his family, his friends, his employees, can put forward any reason why he should have taken his own life. His business was doing well. He had no apparent problems.
It seems so. Let's see. He came to Galway from Belgium 5 years ago. He ran a successful food import business. He was popular locally, member of the Golf Club Chamber of Commerce. As you say, no problems. At least none that have come to light.
He imported goods from the Eastern Mediterranean. Laurel leaves, fig paste, raisins, sultanas.
And that witch is Uber.
The word from the States is still that high-grade heroin is flooding onto the streets of East Coast American cities. The anxiocertin has been manufactured here. If they're right, then somebody has to be importing morphine base. The best way to get it in would be under cover of legitimate imports.
Galway's a small place, Uber. I mean, if Tassie was involved in drugs, something would have leaked out. There hasn't been even a whisper. The drug squad have been working flat out on the ring allegation. They've checked every available source. They still haven't a glimmer. But they say they're satisfied any heroin on sale here is imported and not manufactured.
Anything back from the Belgian police?
Oh, we've sent them Tassie's picture. They're still working on it.
Get on again. Tell them it's top priority.
Yeah, we'll do, Super.
We know Padroni had mafia connections.
Well, it says here, he came from a New York mafia family which split in two. One side is involved in racketeering, the other legit. Now, Padroni was on the legit side. He was a lawyer. The Yanks have checked him out and they say there's nothing on him.
He had a house in Westmead. He was a regular visitor.
He flew over 3 or 4 times a year for the fishing and shooting. The staff in the house were questioned. The local gun and angling clubs. Nothing has turned up to show he was here for any reason other than to enjoy himself.
He dies in a Westmead lake within 4 days of Tassie hanging himself in Galway.
Yeah.
Suppose a hitman did them both in, made it look as if their deaths were self-inflicted. Say they were members of this ring, and there was a contract out on them.
All Interpol have told us is that they picked up an underworld rumour. We have no description, no photo fit, nothing. Look, it's August. The country is swarmed with shagging Europeans. There could be 100 hitmen here, and we wouldn't be able to identify any of them.
Get on to Interpol again. See if they photoed anything else. Tell them we've looked at those two deaths again. Tassie and Padroni, we're suspicious.
Fair enough.
There is one other thing, Fitz.
Yeah.
I had a report on my desk when I came in from Donnybrook. A Michael Regan called at 2 this morning and claimed a Frenchman attacked him because he saw the Frenchman murder a German in a hotel in Skibbereen on Sunday night.
What? Sunday night? And he didn't report until 2 this morning?
They figured in Donnybrook he wasn't the full whack, so they packed him home in a squad car. I'll read the statement yourself. They've been on to Skibbereen, and they confirm a German called Schmidt died in a hotel there on Sunday night. But the doctor who attended him said it was cardiac arrest. A Frenchman called Philippe Brams worked as a waiter in the hotel for a couple of weeks. He finished on Sunday night. And a Michael Regan stayed there for the weekend. No, 99 times out of 100, I toss a report like this aside. But I have a niggle about this one.
The girls who found him say he fell down the stairs. They didn't see anyone else. And he's been ill.
The fact remains he did stay in the hotel. There are two foreigners involved, and one of them is dead.
Why did he wait over 24 hours to report his suspicions?
The first possibility is he's fantasizing. The other is he's frightened.
A civil engineer home on holiday from the Middle East, and that could be fantasy too.
Might be worth talking to him, Fitz.
Right.
At least we'll be able to get a description of the waiter from him. And send it off to Winterpal, see what they turn up. Come on, let's get it over with.
It's a long way to Tipperary.
Sorry to have got you out of bed.
Time was up anyway.
How's your head?
Terrible.
You're sure you saw the waiter put something in the German's drink?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You've no doubts about that at all?
None.
Why didn't you report the matter to the guards in Skibbereen on Sunday night?
I persuaded myself I was mistaken.
Yeah, but you just said you weren't mistaken.
The doctor who attended the German said he had a massive heart attack. At that stage, I was confused.
The fact remains, you say, you saw the waiter tamper with the drink.
Yeah, I did.
Did you mention your suspicions to the doctor?
No.
Or to anybody else?
I had a conversation with a porter in the hotel. He told me the German had a weak heart. The doctor who attended him was his regular doctor and had told him he could die at any time.
The porter was the only person you spoke to?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
The attack on you last night. You knew it was the Frenchman because you got the smell of French cigarettes.
That's correct.
Well, surely if he attacked you, you would have both been at close quarters. You would have been able to see him.
It was dark. There were no bulbs in the hall or landing.
So you're merely assuming this was the same Frenchman who worked in the hotel.
I'm certain.
All you have to go on is the smell of cigarettes.
French cigarettes. I know what Caporals and Galois smell like.
So if he'd been smoking Camels, he'd have been an Arab, huh? Jesus. Look, the girls in the downstairs flat didn't see any assailant. They said you were drunk and fell down the stairs.
They didn't see him because the hall was dark. By the time they found me, he had left.
Wouldn't they have heard the hall door opening and closing?
I can't answer that question. You'll have to ask the girls.
You were drunk?
I had a few.
Yeah.
You told them in Donnybrook you'd been ill.
I picked up a bug when I came home from Dubai.
The doctor couldn't diagnose exactly what was wrong with you.
But he told me eventually I had glandular fever. I can't say for sure.
Have you ever received psychiatric treatment?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm? I mean, no.
How long were you in Dubai, Michael?
A year.
Now, the Frenchman who attacked you, how did he know where you lived?
He stole my address book from the hotel room.
You caught him in your room?
No, I didn't.
So you're making another assumption.
What are you trying to do? Convince me I made all this up?
All we've got from you so far is an uncorroborated account of what you think happened.
Did you report to the hotel management that your room had been burgled?
No.
Why not?
Because I was leaving the next morning. I didn't see the point.
Yet you suspected the French waiter, one of their staff.
The porter had told me earlier the waiter was leaving that night, that he had been employed only temporarily.
How many people were in the dining room when you saw him put something in the German's drink?
About 100, 120.
And you were the only one who saw him?
I didn't check with anybody else.
How did the Frenchman find out you saw him tamper with the German's drink?
When the German collapsed, I got a fright and walked out of the dining room. He must have seen me leave.
You were the only one who left.
There may have been others. I can't remember.
You'd finished your dinner at that stage?
No, I hadn't been served.
Yet you got up and left without eating?
Yeah.
If you ransacked your room, attacked you last night and ran off with your bag, he was obviously looking for something.
Why the hesitation?
I don't know.
You're holding out on us, aren't you?
When the German collapsed, his glass fell on the floor and rolled under my table.
You still have it?
No.
Was it in your overnight bag?
No.
I think you'd better let us hear the full story.
I gave it to someone to have it analysed.
Who?
A girl. Look, I don't want her involved in this.
She was with you in Skibbereen?
Yeah.
Look, we're not interested in your morals, Mr. Regan. If you were away on a dirty weekend, that's your own business.
I wasn't away on a dirty weekend. We had separate rooms.
You better come back to the station with us. Wait, hold on while you get dressed.
I've told you everything I know. Why do you want me to go to the station?
If you're correct, the German was poisoned. This is a murder investigation. We have procedures to follow.
And we also want the name and address of the girl you were with in Skibbereen.
Please sit down, Miss O'Keefe. I'm Detective Superintendent Leeson. Detective Sergeant Fitzgerald, you've already met.
Well,
I'm sorry to have taken you away from your office, but I'll try and get you back there as quickly as possible.
I haven't got the glass, Superintendent. I've already told him that.
Where is it?
I threw it in a litter bin.
When?
Last night, shortly after Michael gave it to me.
Where?
O'Connell Street, Westmoreland Street, I'm not sure.
Regan says he gave it to you to have it analysed.
I hadn't the slightest intention of having it analysed.
Despite the fact that you knew that it could have contained traces of a lethal poison?
The German wasn't poisoned, Superintendent. He died of a massive heart attack. The doctor in Skibbereen will confirm that if you contact him.
I already have.
Then what is the point in continuing with this stupid investigation? Michael isn't well. Surely you realise that from talking to him.
How long do you know him?
Do I have to have my personal life dragged into this?
You were engaged, I believe.
Yes. We planned to marry when his contract in Dubai ended. While he was away, I met somebody else, so I broke off the engagement.
Then why did you spend the weekend with him in Skibbereen?
When he returned from Dubai, I was on holiday in Greece. When I got back, he'd contracted some kind of virus and was down in the country in his parents' home convalescing. I didn't see him till a week ago. I wasn't happy about what I'd done, so when he asked me to go away with him for the weekend, I agreed.
Why did he go to Dubai?
He was unsettled. After he qualified, he worked for a firm of consultants. He complained that he wasn't getting any site experience. He was sitting at a drawing board all day. Then he went to work for the Port Authority, and they put him on a dredger analysing samples of silt from the seabed. He saw an ad for the job in Dubai. He applied and he got it.
Have you ever known him to take drugs?
No.
Did it occur to you that he could be on drugs?
I asked him and he said that he wasn't.
Did you believe him?
Yes. I mean, Michael was a fitness fanatic. He took the odd drink. He didn't smoke. He was into road running and swimming.
Mm. Did you see the waiter tamper with the gentleman's drink?
Of course not. That's all out of baloney.
Regan is convinced the drink was tampered with.
How many times do I have to repeat myself? The German wasn't poisoned. He died of a heart attack.
So you'd been to medical school then, huh?
What?
Did Regan say anything to you about reporting the battle?
Yes, he did. I persuaded him not to.
Why?
I went out with Michael for 3 years. I know him pretty well. Once he gets an idea into his head, nothing will convince him he's wrong. Suddenly, out of the blue, he conjures up this image that the German was poisoned. Can you imagine the fuss and the bother? Everyone in the hotel had been questioned. The whole thing's a sick joke.
Why did you choose to go to Skibbereen?
We'd been there a few times when I was going out with him.
It seems a long way to go for a weekend.
Are you implying that there was something sinister in our going to Skibbereen?
Mm. What time did you get back to Dublin last night?
Around six.
Was Regan drinking?
No. We had a bottle of wine with our meal. I drank most of it.
What time did you leave him?
About eight.
Hmm. And you went home then?
Yes, I was tired.
And on your way, you threw the glass in a little bin in O'Connell Street.
Oh, Westmoreland Street. I can't be sure.
Did Regan say where he was going after you left him?
To his apartment, I presume.
When he left the hotel dining room, how long was it till he returned to the hotel?
Close on 2 hours.
Mm. You asked him where he went?
He said he went for a walk through the streets.
For 2 hours? Skibbereen's a small town, Miss O'Keefe.
He was in a state of shock. He believed the German had been murdered. When I saw him again, he was ashen. He didn't even realise that he'd been gone for 2 hours. He thought the dining room was still open.
Well, I think that's all for the time being. Thank you, Miss O'Keefe.
Is that it?
Oh.
Am I free to go now?
There is just one other thing. We'd like you both to help us with a photo fit of the Frenchman.
What do you mean, both? Michael is still here. You're holding him.
No. Just routine, I assure you. Where there's a suspicion of foul play, the formalities can take some time. If you'll come this way.
So, you are taking this seriously?
Regan and the girl have just left, Super.
Together?
Yeah, I offered them a lift, but they said no. Regan called a taxi.
You've organized surveillance?
I have, yeah. Sharky's following Regan, and O'Donnell is keeping tabs on the girl.
Do you believe her story about the glass?
I'm skeptical. If she did throw it into a litter bin, there is no hope of recovery. I've been out to the corporation, and they say all city centre street bins were emptied at 7 this morning and transferred to a crusher lorry for delivery to the tip. And that's assuming there was a glass there in the first place.
You think they concocted the story?
Well, I have serious doubts about Regan, Super. I mean, why did the Frenchman bother to go into the house? Now, if I wanted to swipe somebody's bag, I'd do it outside on the street.
Well, Regan would hardly do himself an injury that required 6 stitches.
Well, he said he had a few drinks. He could have generally fallen down the stairs. Made up the story of an attacker. Because it suited his plans to switch the inquiry up a blind alley.
If Regan isn't on the level, the girl has to be implicated as well.
That story she told us about a busted romance doesn't gel either, Super. As soon as she saw him upstairs, she threw her arms around him. They left holding hands.
Let's wait and see what the autopsy turns up. The pathologist is on his way to Skibbereen.
Whatever the result of the autopsy, I still think Regan isn't as innocent as he makes out. He's a smart little bastard. If you ask me, he's playing games.
Anything else?
No, thanks.
Well, that's 140, please.
No, that's okay.
Thank you. Why did you tell them I had the glass?
I'm sorry. I had to. My story didn't make sense otherwise.
It's okay.
Why did you throw it in the litter bin?
I didn't. David did.
You told Gleason that?
No. Last night when I asked David if he'd analyzed the glass, he went crazy. I made a blazing row. If I involved him, he'd die of fright. You're absolutely sure it was that French waiter who attacked you?
Certain.
Well, if he has your address book, maybe he knows where I live too.
Whatever the hell it is we've stumbled on, let Gleason and that ignorant sod Fitzgerald sort it out.
Oh, shaking, Michael. Look at my hand. I can hardly lift the cup.
We're both wrecks. If I had to do it all over again, I'd leave that bloody glass where it was.
Did they ask you if you were going back to Dubai?
No, they didn't. And I wouldn't have told them if they had. It's none of their business. But it's what I'm going to do as soon as I can pick up a new passport and arrange a flight out.
What'll you do tonight?
I have no plans. I'll mess around for a couple hours, probably go to a film.
We could meet up later on.
What's the point?
Do you not want to see me?
And have you walk off as you did last night? Only a masochist would want to go through that again.
I was really upset as well. I couldn't sleep for hours worrying about you. But please phone me, Michael.
What time?
About 8.
Okay.
Pint of stout, sir. Thank you. Thank
you, sir. Regan! The old flower.
You quirky, you are.
Oh, great.
It's Regan, I don't know.
My God, what's with the bandana on your head? Did you have an accident?
I got belted last night.
Malcolm?
Yeah.
But listen, Jesus, great. Do you want a pint or something? Or?
Oh, yeah, great, yeah. Pint of stout would be great.
Sorry, excuse me. Can I have another pint of stout, please?
Come now, sir.
What are you doing with yourself, innit?
Oh, well, finally made with the outfit next door. Crime correspondent. You're looking at the expert on the sleazy sort of life in this town, Mike.
Listen, I don't suppose you've ever come across a detective superintendent Gleason.
Ned Gleason? A big man, red face. Looks like somebody's uncle up at the horse show.
That's him.
Sure it is. Yeah, shrewd operator. Has quite a reputation.
And do you know a detective Sergeant Fitzgerald?
Jesus, Fitzy. Who doesn't? A rough bastard. Used to be in the drug squad. Someone told me his eldest son got hooked. Ever since then, he's declared war on pushers. And I whacked the shit out of one of them a year back. It turned out it was the pusher's brother he mishandled up. So they claimed. So, how come you're involved with this mob, Mike?
Have you happened in early, Spare?
Sure. You okay?
Yeah, well...
Listen, the big bloke with the red hair and the blue anorak on my left. He's his ear cocked. Let's move over here to the corner. So, they grilled you for 4 hours?
On and off.
Yeah, they're onto something, Mike.
You think they have all our information?
Of course they have. I was down at Skibbereen myself when Schmidt bought the farm. The rumours flying around.
What kind of rumours?
Drugs. I don't know if they were malicious or not, but the local grapevine had it. Schmidt was into drugs. By the way, did you ask for protection?
No.
Why? A friend at the counter with the red hair, the earwigger. He's been watching us in the mirror. He's a cop.
Are you sure?
Written all over him. Where did you go this afternoon, by the way?
Well, me and Brenda had a cup of coffee and she went back to work. I went there for him, then I came in here.
You didn't notice him before?
No.
Well, if you didn't ask for protection, there's only one other explanation.
I'm under surveillance.
Right. Look, Mike, let's slip back to the office. I can check with the newsroom if anything's been happening.
Relax. Nothing from the newsroom. By the way, your tail is still across the street.
Where?
The doorway of the shoe shop opposite. Unless I'm very much mistaken, he's carrying a Smith & Wesson 38 and a shoulder holster under that anorak.
This is turning into a bloody nightmare.
Listen, don't panic, Mike. Take it easy.
What's the idea of putting me under surveillance? They don't think I'm mixed up in a drugs racket, do they?
No, well, they have devious minds. Mind you, there is another possibility.
And what's that?
They're hoping that the Frenchman is tailing you as well.
Oh, look, Joe, I'm getting out of here.
Hold on. Excuse a second. Hello? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. When? Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, I'll be down in a few minutes. Yeah, fine. Thanks, yeah. That was the newsroom. Our stringer, West Cork, has just been on. The state pathologist arrived in Skibbereen an hour ago, and a Garda forensic team is combing out the hotel.
That settles it. Do you have a rear exit?
Yeah, there's a fire escape at the back of the building. Brings you down to a laneway which leads onto the quays.
Look, do me a favour, Joe. Don't print anything I've told you.
Yeah, I'll demand an exclusive when it's all over, Mike.
Oh, yeah, we're still around.
Hey. Hold on. Listen, what are you going to do now? You can stay with me if you like.
No. I'll check into a hotel somewhere, just lie low for a while. If they want the fraud, they can find some other gobshite to lead them to.
Hold on, listen. Here's my card. My home number's on the back. Now, just give us a shout and let me know where you are, okay?
Yeah, if I can.
Hey, Mike. These guys aren't messes, you know that. Be careful.
Gleason.
Hello, Super Fitz here. Listen, I just had a call from Sharkey. He's lost Regan.
Where's Sharkey now?
He's still in town outside the newspaper office. Regan met some bloke in the pub across the way, Bose's pub. Sharkey thinks he's a reporter. They went into the newspaper office a couple of hours ago. The reporter has been in and out a few times since, but there's no sign of Regan.
How about the flat?
He hasn't shown up there either.
The girl's place?
No, she's at home. She went in around about 7.
Get over there. Find out if she knows where Regan is. If you draw a blank, get in touch with the reporter.
There isn't any more from Skibbereen.
It's a murder hunt, Fitz.
But Schmidt was poisoned.
Prussic acid.
Room 14, Mr. Kennedy. Ground floor.
Can I have breakfast in my room at 9 tomorrow morning?
Fill in the card in your room. Just slip it on the outside of your door.
Thank you.
Good night.
Brenda, Michael.
Michael, where the hell are you? Fitzgerald was here looking for you.
When?
An hour ago. He said if you ring to find out where you are.
The bastard set me up.
What do you mean set you up?
I have an armed cop on me tail all afternoon.
Fitzgerald said they were watching you for your own protection.
Like hell they were. I'm pretty certain you're under surveillance too.
Michael, I'm scared. If there's something I don't know, please tell me.
They have information. It's to do with drugs.
Where are you now?
I can't say.
I have to call Fitzgerald back, Michael.
Just tell him I'm lying low. If they want to nab the Frenchman, they're not using me as bait.
Are you in danger?
I don't think so. Listen, I'll ring you again tomorrow morning. If you don't hear from me by 12, get in touch with Joe Quirk. Have you a pen?
Yes.
He has two numbers. The first one is 507. Come on, Joe. Come on.
It's Quirk here.
Joe, Mike Regan, how's it going? Listen, any developments?
Schmidt was poisoned, Mike.
Listen, where are you?
I checked in somewhere.
All right, stay there, okay? Confidential information, Mike. They found heroin in Schmidt's house in Baltimore and a huge quantity of morphine base. They suspect the Frenchman is a hired hitman.
Oh, Christ.
I had a visit from Fitzy.
And what did you tell him?
Nothing, of course. Just worried that some people may be wondering why you turned up in Skibbereen on Sunday night. And I don't mean the cops, you understand?
Yeah. Well, what do you think I should do?
Just don't let anybody know where you are. Stay there, okay? Oh, and Mike.
Yeah?
Fitzy might be a bastard, but he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, listen, thanks, Joe. I'll call you first thing, okay?
Yeah, take care.
Okay. Yeah?
Your breakfast out.
Yeah, hold on.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. Could you just leave it on the dressing table there, please?
If you need anything, call reception.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Shortly after 7 o'clock this morning, a man was knocked down and fatally injured in Tala Industrial Estate. The car involved in the accident failed to stop and was last seen heading off at speed in the Rathfarnham direction. The dead man is believed to be the managing director of a German electronics firm. His name withheld until his relatives have been informed. Garda in Tala are anxious to contact the owner of a white Ford Sierra, registration number ASI 842.
Right. Okay, Mr. Regan. You checked into the hotel last night at 10 o'clock. You left the newspaper office at 7. Where were you in between?
Covering my tracks to make sure no one was following me.
I want to know where you went.
Well, I took a couple of bus trips trying to decide where to stay.
Where was your car?
Where I left it Monday night in the car park in the mall.
Well, you haven't been back to your car since Monday night?
No.
I put it to you that between 7 and 10 last night, you collected your car, parked it, then checked into the hotel under the name Thomas Kennedy. Early this morning, you slipped out of the hotel through the window of your ground floor room, drove to Tala, killed Hoffmeyer, abandoned the car in Rathfarnham, and got back into the hotel through the window in time for breakfast.
No!
You invented a story that the Frenchman attacked you on Monday night because your whole purpose was to divert attention from yourself by spinning this elaborate web of lies so that you could kill Hoffmeyer.
Are you going to try and tell me I killed Schmidt too?
We have a witness who saw you running away after you abandoned your car in Rathfarnham.
Look, I wasn't there. I had nothing to do with Hoffmeyer's death.
You were afraid he'd talk, so you killed him.
If I killed him, why would I have come here voluntarily? Why would I have used my own car?
Because you're a cute shagger, huh? You went to the Middle East and saw the chance to make some big money. But the deal went wrong, didn't it, huh?
I'm a civil engineer. I went to the Middle East to work on a harbour project.
You were sent out there by somebody to procure morphine base and ship it back. Your job as a civil engineer was a cover.
Bollocks.
Schmidt recruited you to go to the Middle East.
The first time I saw Schmidt was when he walked into the hotel on Sunday night.
And something went wrong, isn't that right, huh? You had a row with Schmidt, perhaps. You came back to see Schmidt, decided to go to Skibbereen to sort it out. Then Schmidt got killed, and you covered your tracks with a pack of lies about a broken engagement.
If it hadn't have been for the broken engagement, I wouldn't have been anywhere near Skibbereen.
Then you invent some Mickey Mouse story about a waiter being a hired killer, and use it as a cover to buy time so that you could kill Hoffmeyer.
I never heard of Hoffmeyer till you mentioned him.
Hoffmeyer was in on the game. You were afraid he'd spill the beans, so you killed him.
Have you ever had psychiatric treatment?
You said you parked your car in the mall on Monday night.
Yeah.
After you and the guy returned from Skibbereen.
Yeah.
You told me you didn't go back to it.
That's correct.
Your story is that somebody else picked it up.
Well, somebody must have done if it was used to kill Hoffmeyer.
Or can you turn up the car parking ticket?
No.
Why not?
Well, because I left it in the car.
So somebody else could pick up your car.
Look, you're wasting your time. I know nothing about drugs, about Schmidt or Hoffmeyer or anybody else.
Who killed Tassie and Pedroni?
Look, I never heard of Tassie and Pedroni.
Look, don't try and bullshit me. Come on, who killed him?
I'm not answering any more questions.
If you want to sweat it out, that's up to you. Sooner or later, you're going to have to tell us the truth.
I want to see a solicitor.
You'll see a solicitor when you're charged.
Charged with what?
To begin with, Hoffmeyer's murder. Right, so that's the end of that super, huh?
Regan's on the level fix. Yeah. Interpol have been in touch. They've identified the photo fit we sent him as Pierre Dubois. A string of aliases. The French police believe he's been involved in several contract killings, but haven't been able to nail him.
With that report from Howth, that trawler business, there's a strong possibility that could be him.
They've interviewed the skipper again. He confirms the time, 4 this morning. He reported the incident because the man didn't come up the slipway. He clambered over the rock, hammering as if he didn't want to be seen. He's in no doubt he drove off in a white Sierra. He didn't get the number, but I think we can assume it's the one used in the Hoffmeyer killing. The yacht he saw him leave belongs to a Thomas Malone.
Right, will we check Malone out?
I've done that. Born in Liverpool, ex-seaman. Lives in an expensive spread up near the summit. Owns a shipping agency. One of the lines he handles is a feeder service to Le Havre, which transships container cargo to the States.
But then Hoffmeyer exported through Le Havre, and if he was using Malone, then his stuff was going to the States.
That's exactly what was happening up to a year ago. Fact number two. Malone handled Tassie's food imports from the Middle East. They too parted company a year ago. We also know the drug squad found a huge quantity of morphine base in Schmidt's house in Baltimore. Put the three together?
Right. So Tassie's importing morphine base through Malone.
Mm-hmm.
The morphine base is going down to Schmidt in Baltimore, who's manufacturing the heroin, then shipping it out with Hoffmeyer to the States, again through Malone. So presiding over the entire operation is that bastard Malone.
Well, until they got greedy and cut Malone out.
Oh. What about Pedroni?
Well, let's say he was here to protect the American interest.
Well, how do we nail Malone? Presumably, you've got round-the-clock surveillance.
Hell of a lot more than surveillance.
We have to set Malone up.
Arrange a rendezvous with Regan as our star witness to Schmidt's murder.
Jesus, does it have to be Regan? I mean, the unit can handle it.
Oh, no way. He was a stand-in and we've blown it. Mm-hmm. The cute French horse seen him close up. I know it's unethical. If anything goes wrong, I'll live with the consequences.
Oh, what do those evil bastards know about ethics? Fight fire with fire. What if Regan doesn't cooperate?
No, he will, Fitz. I leave him no alternative. Come in.
Super, there's a Miss O'Keefe at the desk. She wants to know what's happened to Michael Regan.
Ask her to wait. I'll talk to her later.
Very good, sir.
Do you want me to see her, Super?
No, I'll do it. Get Regan for me.
Right.
Sit down, Michael.
I had nothing to do with Hoffmeyer's death. I never even heard of Hoffmeyer.
We know that.
Then why did you set that psychopath Fitzgerald loose on me?
Fitz was only doing his job.
On your instructions?
Why not sit down and I'll tell you what we know. We believe we've established the whereabouts of the Frenchman. We suspect he's already killed 4 members of a drugs ring set up to manufacture heroin for the American market.
If you know where he is, arrest him.
It's not that simple. He's been sheltered by a shipping agent called Malone, who we suspect was part of this ring. The 4 dead men got greedy and ditched him, so Malone hired the Frenchman to kill them. To confirm Malone's link with the Frenchman, we have to set him up.
Where do I fit in?
I want you to make a phone call.
To who?
Malone.
No.
Michael, I have to be brutally honest with you. Malone is a drugs baron, an evil man. He has your address book. He knows you have Middle East connections. He believes it's not coincidence you are in Skibbereen on Sunday night. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's sheer conjecture.
What would you do if you're Malone? The way he sees it, you're involved. You have information on him. He has a high profile in the business life of this city. That's his cover. Do you think he's going to risk all that when he has an easy alternative? The Frenchman is a hired assassin. That's how he makes his living. Human life means nothing to him. If Malone gives him an order, he'll carry it out. Not only you,
Brown did as well.
But can't you arrest him on suspicion?
We have nothing on him that'll stick. And we lose the Frenchman. If we're lucky and we pin down the Frenchman, we lose Malone. The only sure way we can get them both is by establishing the connection. Would you like some time to think it over?
And if I don't cooperate?
We'll do our best to protect you. We can't guarantee anything.
We're dead, that's what you're telling me.
Unless we apprehend them. Drugs is a dirty, nasty business, Michael. It's international. Even in Dubai, you won't be safe. These are determined, cold-blooded criminals. Malone is a killer here to do his bidding. He won't hesitate.
All right. What do you want me to say?
Yes?
Mr. Malone?
Yes?
My name's Michael Regan.
Just hold for a moment, please. Yes?
As a result of an accident in Tala this morning in which my car was used to kill your former colleague, Mr. Hoffmeyer, the guards are looking for me.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
I think you do. Listen very carefully. Four men are dead. I have information connecting you with their deaths. I'm prepared to withhold that information in exchange for a certain favor. Do you understand?
No. Are you sure you have the right number?
Yeah, perfectly sure. I'm in serious difficulty, Mr. Malone, and I don't have much time. I must get out of this country before the authorities find me. A container ship called the Acacia into your agency is due to berth at Ocean Pier in Dublin Port this evening. When the Acacia leaves tomorrow for Le Havre, I have to be on it. Tomorrow morning at 2 a.m., that's 0200 hours, I'll be at berth 33 at Ocean Pier under the 35-ton crane. I want you or your representative to meet me there to make sure I get aboard. If you're not there, I'll spill the beans. Okay, Mr. Malone?
Perfect, Michael.
Who turns up on Ocean Pier tomorrow morning at 2 o'clock?
You do.
Not on.
Look, if we use a double, we've blown it. The Frenchman knows you from the hotel. He followed you back from Skibbereen. Saw you park your car on the bell, tailed you to the restaurant, to the pub, back to your apartment. If we send a stand-in, he'll know it's a trap. We've blown it. We've lost him.
You said it was Malone you were after?
Malone, too. But I'm certain Malone won't turn up on Ocean Pier.
Then why did you ask me to make the phone call?
If the Frenchman turns up, it can only be because Malone tipped him off.
So I'm to meet this psychopath at 2 tomorrow morning in Dublin Docks and run the risk of being killed?
We're professionals, Michael. We'll have men down there armed to the teeth. Enough firepower to start a small war. You'll be fully protected.
I want to ring Brenda.
Sorry, we need a total blackout for security reasons. Tomorrow you'll be free to do as you please, not today.
No. I'm putting my life on the line. I want someone to know the circumstances.
You'll be in no danger, Michael. You have my full assurance on that.
You can have my cooperation, provided I talk to Brenda. For all I know, I could end up on a slab tomorrow morning. What's the story then, huh? Michael Regan suspected of being a courier for a drug syndicate, trying to flee the country on a French container boat. You won't put that right. If you did, you'd be admitting your own failure, that you bungled the operation and got a totally innocent man killed.
Now do we know she won't talk to the papers? Your friend Quirk, for instance.
She won't if I ask her not to.
Okay, give me a couple of minutes. I'll get her in here.
How are you going to manage that? Pick her up in a helicopter?
I forgot to tell you. She's waiting outside.
Forgot to tell me? Don't ask me to believe that crap. Did you turn Fitzgerald loose on her too?
No, don't sit there. Goosen's desk wired.
Over here.
You mean those bastards are eavesdropping on us?
Sure they are. Turn in towards the wall with your back to the desk. How long are you here?
Shortly after 2. When you hadn't found, I contacted Joe Quirk. We heard a guard message on the 1 o'clock news. Your car had been involved in a hit and run and they were looking for you.
Shh, keep your voice down.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Let's go somewhere that we can talk.
I can't.
Well, you're not in custody, are you? I mean, they told me...
Gleason asked me to do something.
What?
A Apparently that was a drugs ring we walked into on Sunday night. Schmidt was part of it, so was Hoffmeyer.
Oh, who's Hoffmeyer?
The factory owner in Tala who was run down this morning. They're on to another member of the ring called Malone. The other's welched in him, so he had them...
Do it, please.
I have to.
Why?
Because I told Malone on the phone that I have information on him.
Well, why did you make that stupid phone call? Gleason set you up.
Malone has my address book. I've been to Dubai. I was in Skibbereen on Sunday night. I'm in trouble either way.
Jesus, are we ever going to get out of this?
That's why I'm cooperating, to get it over with.
This is all my fault. I didn't believe you. If I'd let you go to the guards in Skibbereen, none of this would have happened.
Unless you're not to blame.
Oh, yes, I am. Well, I mean, I'm the one who was stupid, not you. I don't suppose by any strange chance you still have that ring on you.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to put it back on my finger?
What, now?
Yeah, now.
There.
Oh. I'll never take it off again. I promise you. Oh, I missed you both. But I'll make it up to you.
Let me get this thing over with. We'll celebrate tomorrow.
Don't mind yourself, Michael.
I'll call you when I get back.
You won't have to. I'm going to stay here.
One 15, Michael. Time to go. How do you feel? Look, your safety is our number one priority. We have been in the cabs of all the quayside cranes. Fitz is in the checker's hut between the transit sheds, you see, right here beside the ship. I'll be on the roof of the tea warehouse directing the operation. The taxi will drop you off here at the grain silo on Alexandra Quay.
No, get a police car. I'm not going down there in a taxi.
Don't worry, the driver is special, Branch. When you get out of the taxi, walk up Alexandra Quay and down Ocean Pier towards the container ship. Walk slowly past the ship, continue on down to the end of Ocean Pier, then turn back.
What happens if he gets to me first?
There's no chance of that. We've got the pier absolutely covered, and the second there's any movement, we'll be there. If you're in any danger, we'll be shot and disabled, okay? Malone's yacht sailed into Dublin port 2 hours ago. He tied up at the dockyard wharf in Alexandra Basin.
And what does that mean? That the Frenchman's on board?
We don't think so. We know Malone is on board because he was seen taking the yacht out of Hoth. We're certain that the Frenchman is somewhere in the port, and Malone plans to pick him up. Okay, Michael?
Aren't you going to sprinkle holy water on me?
Here goes. Onto Ocean Pier, like Gary Cooper in Heinen. Only it's not Heinen. It's 2 a.m. Oh, Christ, I'm an idiot. How could they protect anybody in this light? Jesus, it's weird. They're up there in the crane cabs watching me. Where's the Frenchman? He could be anywhere. In an empty container, hiding in those stacks of timber alongside the transit sheds. There's the checker's hut. Fitzgerald lurking inside in the dark, itching to blow somebody to bits. Here's the ship. No sign of life. Walk past it, Gleason said. Continue on down to the end, then come back.
Come in, Fitz. Are you receiving me? Over.
Yeah, I'm here, Super. Wing has reached the end of the pier. Whenever he's turning him back, there's no sign of any assailant. Wait a minute. Yeah, he's approaching the ship again. Hold on. The that engine has started up, super. He's pulling away from the dockyard wharf and heading towards the ocean pier. This is a tunnel here. Some movement spotted on the deck of the container ship. Over.
Regan and assailant in the water. Everybody down. Go, go, go.
Unit 2, get down there, quick. Quick. All of them. Two targets in the water. Over. Get them out of the water, quick. Now, that's it. Over. Chris, get a boat up. Chris, get a boat up here, now. Get them all on, sergeants, quick.
Hey, it's your turn, Frog.
Regan! Regan!
You're too late! He's got away!
There he is! There's the Frenchman! Come look out! Swim as far as he is!
Help the Frenchman! Come down!
Get Regan out of the water!
A wetsuit! He's wearing a wetsuit!
Down there, over.
Malone shot the Frenchman, super.
Don't let him get Regan, over.
Well done, Michael.
You had the area saturated. I damn nearly got killed. The Frog was right under your noses and you never saw him?
We didn't figure on the wetsuit. He got on the ship on the offside, hid among the containers on deck.
Who shot him?
Malone.
And who shot Malone?
Malone shot himself.
The shot that killed Malone was fired from the quay?
Leave that to us. We'll sort it out.
Fitzgerald shot him? That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, drink this.
What is it?
Brandy, go on. You're shivering. A hot shower, change your clothes, and you'll be as right as rain.
As if you lot cared a damn. You call this brandy? This pain stripper?
Are you awake, Michael?
Just about. What time is it?
Almost six.
Morning or evening?
Evening, of course. You've been asleep for over 12 hours.
Oh, I've never slept for 12 hours in my life.
Joe Quirk's been on. He's calling at 7, taking us out to dinner.
Are you just done from work?
I didn't go to work. Not today. Today I wanted to be here with you. Do you still plan on going back to Dubai?
Well, that's up to you.
If you do, I'm going with you.
What, do you mean you want to live out there with me?
Yes.
I didn't think I'd ever hear that coming from you.
On one condition.
What's that?
We get married first.
I thought so.
And Michael?
What?
One place I do not want to spend our honeymoon.
Let me guess. Skibbereen.
Two men were shot dead early this morning in Dublin Port. No names have been released, but one of the victims is believed to be a well-known Dublin businessman. The body of the second man has so far not been identified, but he is thought to be from overseas. Garda say investigations into the shootings are continuing.
You're good health, Fitz.
And you're super.
We seldom have a drink together, you and me. Someday soon, we'll take the day off. Start in the morning and walk right through the evening. Hmm? And have the crack.
Yeah, if you promise to leave the Galty Mountains and that shagging farm behind you. <huh? laughs> Listen, you said Regan asked you who shot Malone.
I told him Malone shot himself. He didn't believe me.
I saved his life.
I know that.
Malone would have killed him.
Regan knows that as well. I don't think he'll say anything.
You know, sometimes I wish I was back on the beat. Life was less complicated. Yeah. Bugger the big Rogers, huh?
Sloan, you. You did a fine job, Fitz. Oh. Any news?
Yeah. My son's coming home.
That was An Irish Connection by Patrick J. Power. Michael was played by Stephen Kennedy. Detective Superintendent Gleason by Eamon Hunt. Detective Sergeant Fitzgerald by Owen Rowe. And Brenda by Hilary Fannin. Joe Quirk was played by Mark Lambert. The hotel porter by Dan Gordon. The guard by Paddy Scully. And the receptionist by Kathy Brennan. The waitress was played by Emma Jordan. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The play was directed in Belfast by Pan Brighton.
This is Radio 4.